we are going to be looking at something important. And it's a very necessary conversation that we must have as a church. And we're going to be continuing with our conversation last week. But then, there are a few instructions or something that I'll just want to teach in passing, and that will sort of like hold ourselves together. You know, there are some teachings where or exhortations before the real teaching. And that's because those exhortations are very important for the local assembly. And sometimes we can get very into a couple of things that we despise certain instructions. But I believe these are very key for our mending together as a local assembly. This exhortation I'm about to give to you before we get into our conversation is going to bring everything together, I strongly believe. But then, we are a couple of months into the year, right? So, that means you get to know how half of the year, or almost exactly half of the year, has gone. Right? And again, since we are in that season of receiving instructions, you know, oftentimes in a very long marathon, normally from the middle point of the run, starts to get more difficult. Now, the end of it even gets, the end of it normally is really crucial. But then, because mentally, you already have it that there is an end, so there's going to be quite some effort towards the end. But where it gets really interesting, and it's more like a determinant, is from the mid part of the race. Unless, of course, it's a 100-meter run where it's sudden and then you end. But then if it's a marathon, you know, normally you start very calm, right? And towards the middle, you should be boiling up. And that's where, if care is not taken, there could be some tiring. Now, towards the end, you can almost tell, okay, the road is almost ending, so let me put in some effort. Unless you don't want to win the race. But normally, if you are very intentional about winning any race, any marathon race, the end is very crucial. But the midpoint is more like a determining factor. Something that's going to determine how well you're going to end. So, as a local assembly, I believe strongly that God put this on my heart. I was doing something, and He spoke to me. So I didn't have my phone around. So I just told Him, I said, type this and send it to me, because we needed to look at it very carefully as a local assembly. And these are also a set of instructions. So I believe that at this point in time, what God is doing from here in what He's achieving through the teaching of His word is to give out certain key instructions. They're supposed to be quite highlighted, and then we take notice of them. Okay. So, before we get into our conversation of quench not, despise not, Paul also gives out some counsel as to folks in the local assembly. And I believe that Paul was very intentional about the churches he had formed. Now, the churches he had formed, according to, you know, biblical compilation, would be the epistles. There could be some other churches, but what we know are the epistles. And so you see Paul writing to them, you know, encouraging them, teaching them. Sometimes he addressed certain very specific issues, like fornication, adultery, sodomy, hatred, gossiping, backbiting, malice, in the local assembly. Because, you know, I believe he is that pastor and apostle who wants to make sure his work is not scattered. Right? So, I'm going to show you three things that he said consistently to the local assembly. Now, if he said that consistently to the local assembly, mind you, he wrote 2/3 of the entire New Testament. So, if he wrote it to 3 different churches, I believe that's something that Christ family as a ministry, as a church, we should also pay attention to. Because it's quite consistent, right? So, I believe this is going to help us in the mid part of the year to keep running, especially in our relationships, right? Okay, because relationships are all we have and all that God gives us. He's going to work through men. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I actually feel led not to rush this conversation. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2. Okay, we can start reading from verse 1 and 2, and then we'll have verse 2 as our emphasis. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So there's a calling, and he tells them they have to walk worthy of that call. Then he now says in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now he says, in all lowliness and meekness. These are all very powerful words. Then he adds, with long suffering. So, of course, he's talking about humility in lowliness. Then he talks about meekness. Then he now says, with meekness and lowliness, because lowliness will not be esteeming yourself above others. So he now says, in lowliness, in meekness. Right? Then he now says, with long suffering. It means that, you know, the word long suffering is actually the word patience. So, in lowliness of mind, with meekness of heart. I mean, and meekness of heart, with long suffering, which is with patience. Then he now says, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Now he's speaking to the entire church, like the way I'm speaking to you. So, of course, the letters are going to be read and taught as well. Because it's to the church in Ephesus, so it's going to be read to the church in Ephesus. So imagine it says that, you know, the church in Ephesus today, you need to be lowly minded. He's speaking to the church. It means he's speaking to individuals as well as he speaks to the entire body. Right? So there's a low mindedness. When somebody is high minded, they think so exalted of themselves. So you see that sometimes you could have, you know, like in a local assembly, maybe you're giving like a leadership position or a position to handle something. And then you suddenly just feel like, you're higher than the people you are giving to serve. No, you are actually there to serve them. Right? You're actually there to serve. So, he now says that you need to be low-minded. Right? You need to be low-minded. You have to be low-minded. As a local assembly, there is that need for low-mindedness. You know, sometimes you can come to church. I also was in a church, and I've been a church member before. So, I know what it means to be a church. I remember one girl like that. primary, GHS 1. Yeah, around GHS 1. You know, she said that, what did she say? No, I won't tell you what she said. But then, I just told myself, you, I'll never talk to you again. So, you know, GHS 2, I mean, now I'm born again. Right? I'm very born again. Yes, you can trust that. I'm very born again. So, it was she and her friend or Shiva. I can't remember. But I remember there was somebody. I don't know if they were two, but there was somebody. So I said, I was never going to talk to you again. So, years passed. And I mean years. And, you know, I was bad then, but now I'm good. Yeah, I was really bad. Not bad in the sense that, but I was bad. When I make a decision, I hardly go back to changing the decision. Unless it's very crucial. Yes. When I've not made it, I'm open to a lot of, you know, advice. But when I make it, I don't take it. It's like when I tell you to do something, somebody goes to do it. Say, Pastor, when I say do it like this, when you say, Pastor, what about it? And I listen to it. But when I say do it like that, I want you to do it like that. So I told her that I was never going to talk to you again. Then, later, years passed, she came to apologize. Other people apologized. I still said, see, me, Mitimu Dino. So, I now said, so, you know, I was looking at it, some time back, and I said, oh no. I was thinking. So, you know, years passed, you know, we even finished school, I should want to believe. And, you know, the thing is that I won't show it. Yeah, I won't show it to you. I'll see you and I'll be looking at you like, I won't show it to you. I will not frown. I will not, but I just don't, I've just made a decision. That is not you I'm going to talk to. So, I think I got born again, baptized in water and everything. And so I decided to, okay, well, let's see about it. Then, I was thinking about it some time back. I mean, it's the longest grudge I've had. GHS 1. It's the longest. Like, I just made up my mind. No, I'm done. It's the longest grudge. Apart from that, when I got to other places, I've not had anybody that, I've not fought with anybody. Like, I don't talk to somebody. No, I don't do that. I don't. So don't do that as well. So, you can come to church, and then there is, you know, like a brother or a sister who has probably offended you, right? And then you probably like pick up an issue. Now, what Paul is saying here is that believers must learn to forbear one another. Now, I'm going to teach on that carefully and intentionally. Right? So, you're going to bear one another. You're going to patiently endure the weakness of another. You're going to patiently endure the imperfection of another. The differences of another. You know, in the local assembly, we're entirely different people gathered here. Right? Entirely different people here. So, when you now say, oh, everybody has to be like this. Not everybody is like that, exactly. But then, everybody comes in here to be changed into what they actually should be. So, we all are very, very different. So, rather than gossiping, you know, in the church here where I am, somebody came to me, and the person was very hurt. And the person said, Pastor, I hope this is not happening. I heard this person and this person, and they were talking about me. And, oh, Pastor, I was very hurt that they said this and this about me. But Pastor, you've also told us that if somebody doesn't like something that you do, they should approach you and tell you what it is that they don't like. So he was very hurt. So I now had to say, you don't worry, we're going to deal with it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to see how best we can handle what needs to be handled. And then, you know, it taught me something. Is that if we all are going to practice God's word rightly, we have to make sure that we start to put it to work rightly. Told you, in this local assembly, there are discipleship groups, yes. But there is not a clique. There's someone you can move with, you can talk with, you flow with more often. It's okay to have such, you know, relationships in the local assembly. But is that it could be taken so overboard that that kind of a union is used for a distraction in the church. So you find out that two people or three people or four people are left loosely and they keep sowing discords in our midst. Now, I'm not saying that there's something like that going on. I'm teaching. Maybe next week. You never know. So, listen and listen very carefully. So, you have two people. Then they gang up against a dear sister. A dear sister who we all know clearly has imperfections. We are not saying. You don't have more righteousness than some other brother. You know, just sit, look at the person sitting next to you. Say, I'm not better than you. Yeah. You're not better. So you don't have more righteousness than a brother. And you also, who is a sister, you also don't have more righteousness than a sister. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, since we get to identify that we all both are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, marked out with certain imperfections, we are now going to have to bear out the imperfections, the weaknesses of one another. You know, I was telling someone, I said, you know, I was telling someone that. Was I telling someone? If you ask me for my baddest church member, I'm not saying that you are bad, but I will not give the person out to you. That's how I love everybody who is here. Yes. Whether the person is a drunkard, fornicator, what, you are telling lies. Because I place value on them. I place value on everyone. And I see everybody as very important in the plan of God and in the will of God. So while in fact somebody says, oh, this person is like, no. If the person is patiently built into what they should be, they are going to turn out into what God wants them to be. And as a pastor, I always don't see from what men say. I'm going to be very silly if I see from man's point of view. Because you're only going to see imperfections with your eyes. But when you look past that, you're going to see what God is doing in them. And many times, you know, honestly, I've had situations where very crucial instances of maybe lifestyles that are not right. And you find me just continually teaching God's word to the fellow. I just move on. God says this, God says that. Let's go here. Have you seen this? Don't give up on your ministry. Don't stop. And many times, I get to realize how powerful my voice is in the lives of people. So, if you are accusing yourself and criticizing yourself, and I come into your life and I'm also criticizing you, where else would you go to? I'm supposed to be reminding you of what God's word says. Now, I could tell you what the consequences of your decision is, because the word of God teaches us that. But then I'm still going to remind you of what God says about you and what God thinks about you. So, I learned to forbear. Right? Of course. Now he says, forbearing one another. So, it now spans off into everyone as well. So, we're able to put up with people's imperfections. You know, sometimes, look past people's imperfections. Now, when I say look past this, I'm not saying join them in their imperfected state. No, I'm saying look past it. Look past it. Like when you see, don't see, all you see is that. Don't see that. Because God doesn't see that. Are you listening? So he's now saying, we're going to bear. Not gossip. No. Not gossip. Not, what do you call it? See, that was a bad example I gave. So don't do that. Whereas I'll not talk to this person again. It's a very bad thing. Very bad. Of course, there are times where you mark and avoid. But that mark and avoid is not within the context of what we are having as a conversation. So you have people to mark and avoid. They cause divisions amongst you in doctrine. That's when I mark you and I avoid you. But not that you are part of the brethren, but it's just an imperfection, a weakness. Some of you can't keep secrets. They told you secrets. You went to leak the secrets to your close friend. Then they got to know that you leaked secrets. Then they now approach you. Why did you leak my secrets? Why did you? Then you also say, but. You see, we are at loggerheads. We are fighting. We don't talk. We don't see eye to eye. Huh? When you are here and the person is coming, you suddenly go here. A person comes here, you see that you just go to the back there. Because you are avoiding. When Paul is saying we should be forbearing, not avoiding, forbearing. Not avoiding, forbearing. appreciate you, just respect me. Anyway, what you did was not good. They just told you that it was not good. You said they disrespected you. They didn't disrespect you. They just told you to do what you have to do. That's all. Nobody disrespected you. So, anyway, back to my emphasis. Forbearing. Or, in the context of what we are talking about, the person is disrespectful. You don't sit and say, Charlie, you know they respect anything. No, that should be something you should be telling him. I've realized you have a behavior of being disrespectful. But many times you can approach the person's teacher. Oh, I realize this and this and this. Can you speak to this person? But first, actually you find a nice way to present it to them. Oh, I realize this thing you did. Listen, I didn't think it was a good thing. So please, could you work? Oh, I really wasn't glad. Now, you who is saying you are not glad about it, don't think that's the last time the person will not do that. If you do that, you are yet to come inside. Because the person may do it again. That is forbearing. You're going to put up with until the person is mature enough to understand what you are communicating to the person. So there are people who struggle with certain habits. Your response, of course, should be patience. Lowliness, meekness, that should be your response. You may not agree on certain issues. Do you understand? You may not agree on certain issues. But then, the fact that you don't agree on certain issues must not mean you shouldn't have anything to do with a fellow. Say, no, we don't belong to the same political party. Oh. Or, no. She likes Kim Kardashian, I like Davido. You know, even in the church, you see that people walk together. Then, they have like a different approach to handling issues of life. And then you'll be amazed that becomes a reason why they will be torn apart. They'll be torn apart. So Paul is saying that in the local assembly, not only in the local assembly, I'm going to extend it, but as we go, but our emphasis now is here, you're going to learn to forbear. When you see a weakness, it's because many times you may have a strength in that area. But your weakness, somebody sees it too. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your weakness, somebody sees it too. You say that when the person sleeps, the person snores. Okay. Because you've seen the person sleeping. Okay. Huh. When you enter toilets, we can't come inside. And you say when the person sleeps, the person snores. And then you see the person doing. That's forbearing. That's forbearing. What do you smoke? You said that the person doesn't smoke. And many times that's how we are. We just look at something and then we just say that, oh, this person is like this person. What is that? And many times there are a lot of imperfections in people who criticize many people. Many times. But many trouble causes are people who have very bad attitudes, I'm telling you. People who have very good attitudes hardly will not find any problem with so many people. So you see that your imperfection, you point it out. But then, you also do not know that you have an imperfection. So, when you get to realize both of you are struggling somewhat with some kind of imperfections, then you will become more low-minded. You will be more low-minded. Because, okay, you are struggling with this, you see. Me too, I'm struggling with that. Okay, then let's roll together. Then let's work whatever it is that we struggle with out as we grow. Are you listening? Now look at what Paul is saying. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then he now says, for there is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Do you see that? So he's now saying there's a oneness that we must recognize. Then we will be able to bear one another. We're together. We're not apart. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. You know, there's a research I didn't want to share with you because that's certainly not going to be your story. But then, there's a research that said that any couple that divorces once has about 70% to divorce again. So like, two people together, they divorce, they go to marry. The chances of divorce is 70%. And after the divorce and a remarry, right? The chances of another divorce is pretty much higher than the chance of staying with a union. So, when the listing happens, then you say, oh, go. Then you now say, nobody cares about me. But all the people that were there, they also are people who were imperfected some way, somehow. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, you see that, oh, go you. Oh, we'll be fine. Oh, I'll be okay. I can fit out. And I taught you how isolation can be deadly. So, in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2, Paul is saying that we are one, and that is why we forbear one another. Are you listening? Second, emphasis on the same compositions. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. You have to forbear. Forbear. Somebody needs to forbear your mother, your father. Forbear. You have to forbear. You have to forbear. You have to. I was telling someone, I said, the earlier you recognize it, the better for you. Your mom is always going to see you as a child. And she's always going to talk to you in ways you don't want to be talked to. How about you just come to a consensus that that is going to be forever? So that even if she's 98 years and you are 72, she say, hey, cow, you cow. She's never going to stop. So just agree that she talks. And when she talks, just be listening. You are just quiet, listening. Yes, please, ma'am. But the doing part is what is now is now left to you to do. Especially when you're not a child anymore. Like you're not a youngster. So you listen attentively. You listen calmly. You're going to forbear. You say, now hey, why do you talk to me? You know, mommy, I've been wanting to tell you this for 10 years now. No, just forbear. I come to an agreement. That's how she is. You are not the one going to change. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You're not the one to change. Maybe she will change, but it will not be for me. It will take the grace of God. A very serious grace. So you accept. And you know, when you accept things like that, they come to see that maturity with you. And then at a point in time, they'll call you and say, what do you think about this? How many of us have had your parents calling you and say, do you think about this? Yeah, what do you have to say? Is it? But maybe 4 years ago, if you told them, they will not listen to you. Right? So, you're going to forbear. Don't be somebody that easily throws people away. Because you can't forbear. You can't keep up with them. You can't put up with their imperfections. You know, sometimes as a pastor, you can counsel somebody. And the person does that the very next day. 24 hours. Boom, boom, boom. It's already done. So then, you forbear. You have to forbear your disciples. You have to forbear them. You have to forbear them. You have to know how to forbear. You know, there's just one time in my whole life, I remember, I added you, a number of you to some groups or something. And something happened and I said, thank you for the forbearer. Since then, everybody says, thank you for the forbearer. Everybody, thank you for the forbearer. So when I see the forbearance, I ask myself, that's where it's coming from, forbearance. You forbear. That's why I know I'm wrong, but I apologize first and I really thank you for forbearing. So sometimes when I see the messages, I'm like, in my mind, who told you I'm forbearing? All honesty. Huh? Who told you I'm forbearing? You know, when I see those messages, I say, hey, who told you I'm forbearing? Thank you for the forbearance. Thank you for the forbearance. Splitted all over. Thank you for the forbearance. Pastor, please, I apologize. Thank you for the forbearance. I'm like, you are thanking me for something I've not given you. I'm not God. You should make me tell you I'm forbearing you. You know, thank you for the forbearance. Thank you for the forbearance. For the forbearance. For the forbearance. You know, and a way to say sorry is to say sorry and to match it up with a lot of thank yous or maybe good things. Some of you are not smart that much. You apologize, firstly, heartily. Say, thank you for this, for the forbearance, thank you. That one, it introduces that and it covers a lot of wrongs. That's why when you go to Jesus, you don't need to apologize for him. He's already God that forbears all your nonsense and mine included together, the whole world. It's like, you know, sometimes, I'm sure he says, look. That's God. He's looking at us and saying, look. Look. Thank you for the forbearance, Lord. Lift up your hands. Just sit it. Just say thank you for the forbearance. He forbears you. Telling you. And I'm chief of all. He forbears me more than anybody else. Yeah, he does. He forbears me more than anybody else. You know, that's why I said, this thing, Lord. Yeah. Forbearance, Lord. Right? So, he forbears. He puts up with our weaknesses. He puts up with our imperfections. Now, to you who forbearance is giving, don't be stupid. Because there's just a way we like to do things and we assume that. Didn't you hear what Pastor said on Sunday? He said forbear. He said, forbear. Any listing now, you are not forbearing. Then the person now begins to say that. So you are trying to tell me that I'm not listening to Pastor. But that's it. Pastor said, forbear. 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 Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. Is this blessing someone? So he says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, we're going to read from verse 1 actually. 6, 2 are emphasis. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he now says, ye that are spiritual. So this is what the spiritual man will do. I believe we all are spiritual, right? We're mature. That state of maturity. He says, restore such an one. Such an one. So in the local assembly, there's that brother that is overtaken by a fault. Overtaken with unforgiveness. Overtaken with gossip. Overtaken with slander. You know, the tongue of a slanderer is very dangerous. He can tell somebody something like this. The person is sitting next to you. This person has done this. This person has done this. And the person comes there. Say, oh. Then he goes behind the person. While you are trying to speak to them, he says, meanwhile, he has not done it. That's how the slanderer is double-tongued. He says one thing here, and he moves to the other, and says another entirely different thing. He says one thing here, and he goes to another, and he says an entirely different thing. And he will never want to be caught in the moment where two are present. Never. The two appear, he will disappear. Because he knows that he has already told something that is not true, mixed up something that is not true again to another, and causes confusion all over the place. And that's how the devil causes confusion. He lies to you. You believe his lie, and then you pick up an issue about a brother. God does not call that person a gossiper, a slanderer, a fornicator, an adulterer. That's not what God calls them. God calls them his son. He calls them his loves. So, the devil is going to tell you, only see what is wrong. Then you now begin to see what is wrong. Then you now also pick up on what is actually wrong. Because remember, in forbearing, the person has an imperfection. It's not that the person doesn't have. And sometimes it's very clear that the person has an imperfection. But there's just a way you are able to be patient, which is to suffer long in the situation. You know it. You know it, that this is how the person is. But then, of course, we are not accepting you like that and not insisting that you become better. We are accepting you like that and teaching you to be better as we go. Accepting you like that, teaching you to be better. So he now says, we have brethren in the local assembly that are overtaken by certain faults. Overtaken by a fault. A fault is a weakness, an imperfection, a life. This just, you know, to overtake is to be covered by that thing, right? Yes. Or for the thing to go ahead of you. You know, when you overtake, it goes ahead, right? So it announces what you are, because that's what goes ahead of you. So maybe gossip goes ahead of you. Like when you are coming, gossip knows that it should start planting seeds. So it goes ahead of you. You appear anywhere and that appears. You know, some people just appear anywhere and anger appears. Because that's what has overtaken them. There's a fault that has overtaken them. So you see them and everything causes an irritation, an anger. The person is overtaken by that. So you who are spiritual, don't gang up to speak about the person's faults or flaws. Paul says to such a fellow, restore such an one, ye who are spiritual. Ye who are spiritual. I believe you're spiritual. Are you spiritual? You're sure? I believe you are. So what are you going to do? You're going to restore. You're going to restore.
you're going to restore.
Now look at what he says. Restore such an one in the spirit of what? Meekness. Do we see that similarity in that, in the instruction to the church in Ephesus? Low-minded, meekness, and what? And what? Long suffering. You're able to suffer long. You're able to bear long. Forbearing. Now, this is what he now says. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So many times we don't consider ourselves. We don't consider ourselves. We just, the person is like this. But you also, if you had considered yourself, you will not have that. You also have something that we also can point to and say, this is what is wrong with you. Considering thyself. So many times when you're able to say, oh, I also have quite some imperfections, then you will see that your brother's imperfections is considerable. You can consider yourself. Then you will be able to forbear. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you fulfill the law of Christ. Because he's talking about that perfect law of love. The fulfillment of the entire law is walking in love. So, we must begin to become very intentional about forbearing. What is it that somebody has done to you that you must forbear? Don't ignore. Forbear. Don't excuse. Forbear. Don't destroy. Forbear. Then we work towards restoring. You know, there's something that I heard from Reverend Chris. He shared an analogy where how that Jesus walking on water was not rebuked by God firstly. The rebuke came after he had saved him from drowning. You know, when he told him to walk on water and come. Then he started to doubt. Do you see that he first brought him out of the water before he rebuked him? So rebukes can be necessary. But then there is a saving. You don't rebuke with the intent to destroy. The intent is to save, not to allow the person to drown. That's the intent. So we're going to be a local assembly that knows how to forbear one another. And of course, overtaken by the flesh, overtaken by the devil. How many of you, from the beginning of the year, as I speak to you, I almost sense it in my heart. And it's an ill feeling. But as God's word comes to you, allow it deal with that. Right? Don't pick up offenses. So Paul is saying, forbear. so that the beautiful work of what God is doing is not destroyed by you. Now let me tell you something, and I mean what I'm about to say right now. If you're a leader, and I catch you not talking to someone, that instant, I'm pulling you off any kind of a position. I'm saying this again, and I really mean it. You go and fornicate, I'll love you. Strife, no. Huh? If I get to hear that you have something to do with somebody, I want to say it very clearly here, so you don't say, I had water in my mouth. And that should put quite some responsibility on you. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Because strife will cease and stop what God is doing in the local assembly. I'm telling you, that's how dangerous it is. And many times we give room to the devil. Say, I refuse to strive. Say, I let go every sense of strife. Listen to me again, leaders, small children, what happened? This. What is that? Does that? Leaders, I catch you, is your last. Until you are restored. Oh, I sense it now. I sense someone letting it go because now you are afraid. Yeah, I know. When I'm teaching you, I know what happens in the congregation. Because my heart becomes that mirror to teaching God's word. If I get you, I just want you to know. Anything else, I would, but not strife. Not strife. I repeat, not strife. And if I get to know you are a strifer, it's one of the main reasons why you will be casted out of the church. Because the Bible teaches us to cast out the scorner, the strifer, and every contention will stop and it will cease. Yeah, someone is letting go very seriously. Like now, I'm speaking to you now. You have just let go. So all that I was saying before, you were not letting go. You are not letting go. You are not letting go. All that I said, you are not letting go. And it was so heavy on my heart. The moment I get into this conversation, I start to sense that. And it's even way lighter now. So I just thought to add that viewer disclaimer. I catch you strife. You are with me. You sing with me. You did this. You don't talk to somebody. It's the last day. You're going to stop what God is doing here. Anybody around me, no strife. I don't talk to this person. Then you are spreading it around. You gather three people. Have you heard this person? Oh, that's really real. Oh, you're not listening to the sermon. You're not listening. Say, you gather three people. Do you see that? If you say it right now, they will say that, take your seat, don't distort the atmosphere, take your seat. If you say it right now, they're going to say, you are some way. And, pastor, you can't even tell pastor about it. Because if you tell pastor about it, there'll be a serious problem. And you gather three people. Have you seen, this particular, she's really some way. Have you seen she's really some way? Meanwhile, other people may not have seen she's really some way. You are just pointing their attention to that. Then they now also begin to see her that way. Because you go around spreading bitterness amongst people. Two, three people, you gather them. Then you sow in some slander or some bitterness. Three people, you gather them. You sow in some slander. Four people, you gather them. Sow in some slander. There was a day I was going to send somebody out of my house. Because I realized that there was strife in my house. And it's a very spiritual atmosphere. It's very spiritual. It's very, you know, because many people don't know. that wherever the devil is, there is strife and contention. And because I don't want the devil in my home, I'm not going to keep a strife in my home. Go and strife, then you come back when you are forgiven, or you are forgiven. Right? So, in this local assembly, no strife. Are you listening? No strife. No strife. It does not mean offenses will come. I mean, will not come. But when offenses come, I want you in the spirit of love. Call that person. Sit down. Talk to that person. Tell the person, you know, I really want to pour out something that's been on my heart for a while. And I think we have to talk this out. Remember, you're born of God. Forgiveness is much easier than holding on to malice. It's much easier to forgive. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. There could be an offense. Yes, bring it to me. Like, bring it. We'll solve it. But after it's been spoken about, don't go back. Yeah, they didn't really understand me. Really been. You don't understand. So you see them going, they plant. And you should be another planting. Another planting. Forbear. Forbear. That's your brother. God wants to use this family to build something on the earth. We're not going to allow the devil to destroy it with strife. And of course, I'm the family man, I'm the father here. So if I realize it, see how we can solve it. We have to solve it. We have to solve it. Because that's going to tear the family apart. And I'm not going to watch the family torn apart. So we're going to solve it. We'll sit down and we'll talk about it. To you who's being forbid, there's a word like that. You have to begin to see how best you can change. To you who has forgiven, they will do it again. But they will get better the next time. Then they will do it again and they will get better. The next time. Then they will do it again. Then they will get better the next time. Then as you talk about it, you see that there's that transformation. It's transformation. It's not magic. So the person is changing. It's going to be gradual until you can no longer see any of that around them. So learn to forget. You know, sometimes one day someone spoke to me about something that happened. Think the person's not here, so. And there was a very crucial fight. I said, why did you fight to the point of blowing? He was saying something to me. You could have forbeared. Don't become somebody who says, I have to see my mind. No, it's not every time you have to say your mind. You know, there are things that you say. You never will be able to take them back after you have apologized. When you're fighting, but you've already said. Those who don't understand Utia Chia is your head has Chia. Huh. I said, huh? Is that what you said? Then after all the fights, you've said everything that you wanted to say. Then somebody who is wiser than both of you comes to put you together. then shows you both that you both are very bad. Sometimes even you even say something that you were hiding in your heart all the while. You know, today is that perfect day. I've been always wanting to tell you, you really, really, really disgust me. I was just holding on to you for a best friend for a reason. But you really, really, I've always, for 2 years, you disgust me. When I see you, I want to puke. But you see, all of these things, because you're angry. If you're not angry, you will not be able to say it like that. Because you are angry. You're angry. You will just say it. In a way that when you even say, somebody tells you, this is what you say, oh, no. Then they bring recording to you. You were angry. You were angry, so you were not able to say it. You. I've always wanted to tell you. You know, you've been doing this. You always make me angry. You always make me angry. You always make me angry. And every time I say, I'm angry. But today I want you to know, you make me angry. But then when the situation is solved, you would have already said what you shouldn't have said. I knew I'll never help you. You see, that's why anytime you ask for 20 cedis, I give you 1 cedi. I would have never. I'm telling you, I'll never help you. And that's why I never helped you. So the person now is there and says, oh, okay, it makes sense. That's why. Because every time I ask for 20, you give me 1. Give me 1 cedi. You ask, you give me 1 cedi. Give me 1 cedi. Very silly gossiper like you. That's how you gossip about people and you gossip about this person. You are bringing it to me. It's because you are angry. It's because you are angry. Look, I've always wanted to tell you, you know when you want to see a real fight, go to the camp. If I say it, you say that, have I gone there before? So, I'm not going to say it, so I want any trouble. I want to tell you, or women that live next by or something. That's how one day you drag yourself on the clothes. Eh? Every time you feel the clothing line. Me, I was told I feel the clothing line every time. I said, hey. Me, I don't even wash. I don't know what I mean. You feel the clothing line. Every time you are washing, I've been always wanting to tell you, that thing you do, this is the, if one thing comes up, then another thing comes up. Then it leads you to say something you never intended to say, but because you are heated in your emotions, just spew it out. The intent is to get back at the person, is to say something that hurts. So you're just hyper in your emotions. You're hyper in your emotions. Then, boah, everywhere you've spoiled, everywhere. With a lot of things you should have never said. A lot of things you should have never said. But if you could forbear. You know, I've had people tell me, after they probably matured to an extent, how many of you maybe did something? And I forbid. But then, you now mature to a point, you don't do that thing again. Because now you now see that, okay, that is not right. You know, it's not everything as a pastor I tell you. There are just things I allow maturity take its place. You can also do that. In your discipleship, sometimes you just must allow room for maturity. They would grow. They would grow. It's not that you don't see it. You stood up. It's your case I'm talking about. You just look and say, it's okay, let's continue. I think he's prophesying. Listen. Don't worry, let's go. We can continue. Right? Then, he goes out of it. Example. then he will not do that again. But this time, it wouldn't have come with a lot of backlashing. It would just allow, okay, let's have him grow out of it. And many of you have that story. It's just that he stood up, so he fits in. So if you stand up, maybe I'll just say, and you too. So you forbear. You should all forbear. Because there's a God that forbears us all. Right? So Paul is saying, we're going to be in lowliness, meekness, long suffering. We're also going to be making sure that we consider ourselves. So why is it the person is like this? You, what are you? You, what are you? Let me tell you what you are. That we are forbearing. You, what are you? Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. Can't believe it's almost time. Forbearing one another. We've not continued our conversation, but if we have this, God can do anything with us together. If we have this, forbearing one another. So the next time somebody comes to tell you, because sometimes the enemy might work, give room, this person is like this, you just say, oh, let's see how we can forbear and watch the person do well or grow. So let's put in some growth structures. Some of you who are in relationships, I'm talking about friendly relationships, there's room for forbearing. Are you listening? Because if you want to change, you change. Go into the box. You say, Yay, this one is better. That one was even, okay. Hey! No, I am not this one. So by the time you realize it, you have had 6 changes. Change. So when you change, you know, those people who like to change, they don't also like to tell pastor that they are talking to someone, you see? Because you can easily change. Because pastor takes you by your word. Pastor takes you by your word. So it's easy to change. It's not easy to change, actually. So you see that they'll be doing like this. But I'm telling you, if you just learn to forbear, you'll be fine. The value, many of the times, is a shame. Yeah. Oh. You didn't get it, actually. You didn't get it. Because maybe you were children by then. The value is the same. Just a little bit different value. So they don't change easily. Don't change. Yeah? Be inside. When you get married, be inside. Yeah? No change. It's not something you change. And the authority, oh, I'm changing, Pastor, I'm changing. No change. There's no change. Okay, but you change before you. No change. Huh? Okay. Forbearing one another. Married couples, you have things to deal with. Yeah. Don't you have things to do? Mm-hmm. But you get, I'm changing. No, I'm change. No, there's no change. No change. You don't change. But the previous change is very important. Change. No. Huh? That's why you should take your time, you see? You say, no, I'm changing. Then don't change. Relax. Don't be in a hurry. Actually, don't mistake me. I'm just saying that you should forbear one another. I'm teaching this in all angles. Right? So that's important. Forbear. Forbear. Okay. It will get better. Just forbear. It will get better. Your relationships will get better. You know, and after a previous fight, there comes a stronger relationship. Much stronger than before. After you have been able to forget, there's something blossoming and beautiful that comes out again. But if you always throw it away, you're not going to have that blossoming out. As a local assembly, we get to understand ourselves some more. Get to understand ourselves more. Just passed it for a year and a few months. Been in activities of ministry for a while, but just a year. I think I need some time too. Don't you think so? Everybody needs some time. Don't you think so? I'm going to be a better pastor in 5 years than I am now. That's just true. You'll be a better pastor in 10 years than I am now. In 15 years than I am now. In 20 years than I am now. It just happens. That's what happens. So you forbear. Can we all forbear ourselves? And sometimes the reason why you can't forbear, you are just proud. You're listening to me. You know what I'm doing. Now, why should he talk to me? Who are you? Why can you not be talking to? Who should we talk to? Huh? Who should we talk to? So, forbearing one another. I really think I have to. Forbearing one another. We'll just go in the flow. So he says, restore. It means to put in order. Galatians chapter 6. Restore. You're going to put in order. And the word restore actually there is a medical term. It's used for setting some fractures in place. You know, I knew somebody who knew how to work on bones when you had a dislocated bone. A broken, that one, it has to heal. A dislocated, sometimes an experienced folk can just hold it. Then the bone enters. Yeah. A twist, sometimes when it's dislocated, sometimes, it's not all time. They have a way of doing bones. So that's a restore. It's you put in shape. Remember, you're going to with meekness, lowliness of mind. You are not exalted than anybody. You are all, just that you are not swimming in that particular sin. Or that particular fault. So you're going to put in shape medically. You're going to mend. You're going to mend. You're going to mend. You're going to mend. There are a lot of forbearances that I probably have also done with restoration. You're going to mend. So, you're going to restore in that same spirit of meekness. Gentle, full understanding. In love. So this is our second emphasis, right? To the church in Galatians, right? Now let's see Romans 15 as well. So can we call that Paul's consistent wording to three different churches? The same sort of flow. But they will say I'm a fool. No. Don't listen to what the world calls you. Don't listen to what the world calls you. So it means that in the local assembly there are weaker brethren, right? Now look at what Paul says about another type or kind of brethren in Romans 15 verse 1. We then that are strong ought to what? Bear the infirmities of the what? Weak. It means in the local assembly they are what? Yes, they are weak. Not everybody is. We may all be looking posh, but there has to be some work. Those in wigs, if we remove it right now, there's something under. There's something there that the wig is for bearing. Well, your wig seems to be for bearing something. Something is under. We pull it out. Danger. So for bearing, there'll be tins. But you just say, oh, it's fine. It's fine, it's fine. Let's continue. Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Let's see how we can work on it. Let's work out. The local assembly, let's work out. Are you listening? Turn to the one sitting next to you. Say, let's work it out. We can work it out. It's not anything. We can work it out. You know, one time, I forbade my mom. If she was here, I would have even said it to you. Because I think I'll keep saying it. I'm going to tell her. It's a legacy. It's going to be on her. When I told her I needed money to pay rent, she said, no. She will not give me. I said, oh. Is that? No. Yes. When I came to Accra, I said, oh, why? No, stay in Tamale. You know, they have opportunities for me there. And I said, no, I was moving in here. I said, no, you don't. I said, no. So, you know, it came to my mind that, hey, you were the way I will mafia you. Mafia you, man. Even 5 pesos. I'll be smiling with you. I'll be talking. I told you that when I make a decision, mafia from the pocket. From the pocket, no. So I remember so clearly. I was in a place like that. Yeah, I remember where it is, but I just don't want to tell you. So I was in a place. Then it just occurred to me. It just occurred to me. So it occurred to me that my mom had taken care of me all this while. You know, there's a way you hear something. Hey, your mom has taken care of you. Your mom has taken care of you. Then there's another time where it occurs to you that she actually has taken care of you all this while. So it occurred to me that, she's taking care of me all this while. Then other scenes started playing. How that she used to give me money as a child. I used to steal money from her parents. She complained and complained. It doesn't go anywhere. You know, coins, all the coins. Mm. So when she sees that she's in the room and I enter quickly, she shouts, hey, somebody should get me my purse. I'm not lying to you. This thing I'm telling you is real. Yeah. And when I steal, I'll tell that. When you ask me, I'll tell you, yeah, I stole. but I've already stolen. So when she sees me, she's sitting there, something or veranda, anywhere. And she sees that, like, when she just sits down, she forgets herself when I enter. It means that there's an action. So I started playing all of these scenes. You know, it just started coming to my mind. I said, wow. You know, I just said to myself, I said, your mom can never do you wrong. That was how I went. And I forbore. Just said, no, she can't do you wrong. She can't do you wrong. And I looked at the devil and I said, you know what? Because of what you've done, I'm going to give to my mother far more than I give to my father. Yes, but my father has taken care of me more than my mother. But I told him that because of what you've done, I'm going to give far more to her than to my father. And I've done that too. Yes. Even my father says that, hey. Hey, you and your mother, I know it sometimes just gets you, but hey, you are the only one who understands it, because we are always forbear, right? And I've done that. I've successfully done that. Far more. And you know, when you do this, you will have the Lord extending out even much more mercy to you. Now, he has already done that in Christ. But, you know, but there's almost like a play out of events in your life that will remind you of what you also did for somebody. In your practical life, there will be instances. You know, people say that, the Lord has shown me mercy in Christ. Yes, that's true. But they don't receive mercy from men as well. They don't have mercy extended towards them from men. Is it that when I catch a thief, hey, Charlie, you pick a ladle. Another person picks a, what do you call it? Spatula. The bigger one. You are going to beat the thief. Okay. Maybe you will not steal. Huh? You do one or two somewhere. And then there will not be mercy extended to you. So as a local assembly, forbearing one another. Huh? Forbearing one another. Romans 15 verse 1. I think our instruction has closed us. Next week, we'll continue with neglect not. Romans 15 verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the what? Weak. It means that there are going to be weaker brethren in our midst. There always will be weaker brethren in our midst. Always weaker disciples in our midst. Weaker friends in our midst. Weaker means they are more prone to yielding themselves to the flesh or to the devil. It's very much understandable. But you're going to learn to forward. Forbear. There's some things there. You should just see them and just smile at them. It's not everything you should fight. You pick up a fight. You say this, you say that, you pick up a fight. So, we are going to forbear, or we are going to bear the infirmities of the weak. We are not going to please ourselves. Then he now says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But it is written, the reproaches of men, of them that reproached, D fell on me. So, we're going to learn this. Don't put yourself first. Are you listening? Self-love is not biblical. It's not. me first is not biblical. Oh, it's about me. It's not about you. It's about us. Are you listening? It's about us. It's about what? Us. It's about us. There's probably that woman at your job post who seems to be on your case. Forbear. Just forbear. Just forbear. Just forbear. It's just forbear. Just forbear. Just forbear. You know, sometimes people have their own problems. The least kicking, they pour it out on you. But if you are forbearing, you will not fall into that trap. So we're going to learn to forbear. Are you listening? So, strong local churches, right? Part of our strength as a local church is our ability to forbear one another. The moment we start to have confusions in our midst, a lot of confusions in our midst, a lot of strifing in our midst, a lot of issues. This person said this about me. This person said that to me. This person acts this way towards me. Maybe the person has not said it, but you think the person acts in a certain way towards you. And sometimes the person may not even know. And when you discuss it with the person and the person still does it, in the spirit of unity, forbear till they get better. Are you listening? To the one who is being, who forbearance is being extended to. Right? Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. So as a local assembly, we are going to learn to walk in the spirit of love. For by this, the world will know that we are of Christ. That's how the world will know that we are of Christ. Now, I keep teaching this in different shades because as a young church, we can be hyper in the things of the Holy Ghost. And as well, hyper in the flesh. Both go hand in hand. So both have to be managed very beautifully. Because I would rather have excess Holy Ghost than no Holy Ghost. Kenneth Hagin learns that from Kenneth Hagin. But then, we're just going to forbear. He's going to grow. Sit down, let's talk about it. You know, this is the sign you did this. It really didn't help. Can we make it better? Husbands, forbear your wives. Forbear your wives. Forbear your wives. Times where she's going to act very unusual. It's forbear. Times where her mouth is going to be faster than her brain. She will say it before she thinks about it. Forbear. Wives, forbear husbands. He's going to miss it sometimes. It doesn't mean you say, the last time you did this, I was watching quietly. You did this again. I was waiting quietly. You're going to tear down what God is building in that room. You see, four times. Now that you've done it, I want to tell you. Forbear. Forbear. And it starts with being lowly in your mind. If you know that even you are not good, there's a way you handle the other brother. that's next to you. Are we going to learn to forbear? One another. Knowing that in the local assembly, there are weaker ones and there are stronger ones. But the goal is to build a strong church, is to have more strength and very little weaknesses. That's going to come as we endeavor to do the word. You know, this is not true that you do not need to fight for what is yours. It's going to come to you. It's not true entirely. But then there's another truth that what is really yours will come to you. It's not true entirely. But there's a truth in that. There are things not to fight for. It will come to you. Like I said, there's a truth in that statement. It's not entirely true. But I don't know why I'm saying it. Maybe I'm ministering to someone. What is yours will come to you. You don't need to fight in the flesh. Because there are times we fight in the flesh. We try to use the flesh to accomplish something that is spiritual. No. And that's what the Galatian church did. O foolish Galatian. Having begun in the spirit. How then are ye perfected by the flesh? The things of the flesh cannot achieve the things of the spirit. So where you are supposed to be forbearing and you walk in the flesh, it's not going to achieve what God's spirit wants to do. It's not going to bring that restoration to that brother. You will have to use the spirit to get that brother growing in the way he should grow, according to what God's word says. You're going to have to use spirit-filled emotions as well to accomplish that. You know, there's just certain times where you show someone so much love that a person tells themselves that, hey, because of your love extended to me, this thing you have asked me to do, I'll never do it again. And the person will ensure they never do it again. That's because love is greater than hate. Is greater than unforgiveness. Is greater than malice. Love is greater than any kind of, you know, an emotion in the flesh you want to use to accomplish something. I'll insult him. No. You don't have to. When you do that, you're getting in the flesh. Don't use the flesh to accomplish the things that only the spirit can accomplish. So many times it's all hidden in the spirit of love and unity. So as a local assembly, we together as a church, everyone in this place, forbearing one another. There are weaker people, there are stronger people. We say yes to them all, and we want to see them do well. Rise to your feet. Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another. One.